Glory, glory, glory. So we're looking at our series we started a while ago before CRC.
And we
continued yesterday, part two of it. And we're going to continue again today. We took on a few of it yesterday. And we're going to continue today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, this is the second section of the part 2 in series 5. How we want to put it, part. Amen. So, Matthew 1:1. Quick one. Let's look at a couple of things very fast today. So, I kind of left my notes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, rushing for meeting, I left my notes in my car. That is not here at somewhere. So, I have to put up with a little note I have. I just said I have to scrape some things for my notes. I will have this day. Amen. Let's look at a few things today, just a couple of things. Amen. So, Matthew 1:1, it says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Right? Now, we said, when you find this, we said, first of all, when you find the word son of David, son of Abraham, it's talking about God as the man. Right? Right? And take note, they are not just writing the story of Jesus as a mess story. They were writing the story of Jesus as the Word became flesh. Right? As scripture fulfilled. So that's how they wrote the story of Jesus, scripture fulfilled. So they will write this in such a way that you would see where they are writing from. Okay, hear me. You have to, they want you to see where they are writing from. This is interesting to find here. I've never seen this in this book. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, came because of fun. So you would see, or they want you to see where they were writing from, that you don't miss where they're writing from. They're writing from the 39 books. Hallelujah. So 39 books are the Old Testament books, right? So when it says the book of the generations there, the word generations, where you have the word Genesis. So it's writing for you to say, oh, what I'm writing about is from the Genesis. Not by following you. From the Genesis. So it's writing the story of Jesus and it's going to Genesis. Making you see that the story of Jesus is not a tales by moonlight. Light. Okay? Tales by moonlight. It may not tell tales by moonlight. No, it's not. Hallelujah. It's scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. It's scripture fulfilled. Very vital, you have to see that.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, it's vital you have to see is scripture fulfilled.
So, something else you have to notice
is when that goes down, so when you're reading, you don't get detached from where it's reading from. One. Right? And then he writes about Jesus as the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. So I told you, when you find the word son there, son is used for God chooses a lineage, right? And he says it's God's offspring through that lineage. So through the lineage of Abraham and the lineage of David, you will find the Messiah. And he is Jesus. You see that? So, that son of David, son of Abraham becomes a shorthand. We saw all that. Hallelujah. Mark 1. Look at what Mark says. Now, take note is that when you say it like this, I say it's writing Jesus as both God as man. Son of David, son of Abraham. You see that? It's both writing Jesus as both God and man. Hallelujah. Jesus as both God and man. So you don't miss it. In Matthew 28, before you get to Mark 1, in Matthew 28, verses 18 into 20, he said, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power, that's one authority, exousia, is given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Hallelujah. Unto the ends of the world. So he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am. So that use of the word I am places deity on Jesus. We're going to see that shortly today. He places deity on Jesus. Jesus is saying he is the I am of the scriptures. Now when you hear the word I am there, it's a name the Jews know that is reserved for God. So it's God's name. So Jesus is saying he is the I am of the scriptures. Do you see that? Amen. So I said, Jesus as being God, or Jesus being called God, is not an aside in the Christian faith. In fact, that is the Christian faith. Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is not, listen, Jesus is not a kind of God. No, Jesus is God. Hallelujah. God of the scriptures. God of Israel is Jesus in the incarnation. Hallelujah. And it's very clear what you just see. You don't have to miss it. You don't have to, no, you don't have to intertwine. No, this is God that became a man. So Mark 1:1, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He used the word the beginning. Now he goes again to Genesis and he used the word beginning. The beginning, Alke is used for Genesis many times. Hallelujah. So it says the Genesis is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. The Genesis is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls him the Son of God. Take note of what I've said and I've always said and I will keep saying. But I will explain further later. I said the book of Genesis, you'll find it as the book of sonship. I've always said that to us. Hallelujah. Sonship. So the book of Genesis is the book of sonship. So he calls him the Son of God. The same thing Matthew writes, and Matthew will call it the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Mark says it's the Son of God. It's not contradictory. They are saying the same thing. This is God that became a man. Hope you're following me. Amen. God that became a man. Now, what Mark does is that he now goes back again to scriptures. He says, as it is written in the prophets. He's about to talk about John, and he says, it's written in the prophets. Prophet there is a shorthand for Genesis down to Malachi. Written in the prophets, now he goes to Malachi, and he says, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Do you see that? So he goes and he reads Malachi, and then he reads that into Isaiah, verse 3, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. What is he saying? He's saying to you that you should read his synoptic backwards. So what is writing, you have to read it backwards. Amen. You have to go again to Malachi, into Isaiah, like that to read it backwards. Amen. So he's telling you, don't get detached. The four gospels should not make you stay on the four gospels alone. When I pick my scriptures and I am in the four gospels, it should take me back to the 39 books. And from the 39 books, back again to the four gospels, into the epistles. We'll see that in the coming days. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. You must learn to see that way. Hallelujah. So one way I know I'm doing a study is the fact that when I pick up the four gospels, what I'm teaching you is not a replacement for your Bible study. What I'm teaching you is how to make you study your Bible well. That's what I'm teaching you. Amen. And I'm deliberately doing it. So that you start having rich Bible study. Hope you're following me. This is no Bible study. At all. Amen. So that means when I pick up my notes, and I want to, when you want to have a Bible study, you can have Bible study with your teaching notes. What you've been taught in church. You pick it up and you are going through what Pastor has said. And as you're doing it, you're reading your scriptures and you are having a study. Hope you're following me. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I mean, so he says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That is Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah. So he's telling you, read everything together. Read the synoptic and the 39 books together. Hallelujah. Amen. Get to the book of Acts. I'm not telling you to do it now, but when you get to the book of Acts, you see how they explain the four gospels. Remember I told you that you have the four gospels in Acts. Right? How was it in Acts? The focus was always in during when the Acts of Apostles was happening. Right? But they had it as oral tradition. So as oral tradition, you will find it in how they taught. Not how they thought about the story of Jesus. It was not a mere story. No. They were thinking about the story of Jesus and they were reading it from the 39 books. Amen. That you see, you will be seeing it and say, oh, this is it. Amen. In Acts of Apostles chapter 3, Paul, I mean, Peter is teaching and he's talking about the resurrection and then he's reading it for you to see. In Acts 2, when he talked about his death, right? Talking about the death of Jesus, and he said, the son is indeed sent. The Lord will not allow his holy one to see corruption. You see that? So he goes and says to the son, and he said, behold, he spoke to them, and then he said, we all know the sepulchre of who? Of David. He says, both he had dead and buried. We can all go to his bones. But that means David wasn't talking about himself, but was talking about who? The Christ. Did you see that? Did you see that? That God will not allow his holy one to see corruption. You have to read it together. Amen. And that's what I'm teaching you to observe. Never get detached at all when you read the scriptures. Never get detached. See, me as your pastor, I'm also very, 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 very conscious of it. Amen. I can't have a Bible study for 10 minutes. It's not Bible study. Amen. I can't have the Bible study for 10 minutes. What am I doing? Glory to God. Amen. That can't be called a Bible study. A Bible study is a danger for us. That's Bible study. Glory to God. Right from time. I don't think, see, even before we started church, but see, I started preaching. I started knowing little things.
Don't think I've ever. Stand still down. No. Amen. Amen. Because the first thing, I thought we would say this, let me say this.
The first thing I learned to do in my study of Bible was how to use reference.
Bible reference. So the first, part of the first thing I learned, how to use Bible reference. So we just say, look at the Bible reference. Sometimes we can read some reference and this one does not relate. This one is... this is sense knowledge. Let's give you the spirit knowledge.
That's nonsense, bro. I know. Or those are funny things that we used to do. But one thing that you can take away is the fact that we spent hours studying.
Amen. Amen.
No, no, God. I remember one time like that in school. Very memorable experience. Somebody was coming to look for me. That doesn't know me. Right? We've not accounted men. So he was coming to look for me. I guess he called me and I said I'm around, I will be around to see. So but we didn't talk about time. So normal, I had a study with a PC study Bible in school. And it was a desktop. Imagine going to school with a desktop. Flat screen desktop, and I was a big boy. I have a special bag for normal box for my clothes. I have another special box to carry desktop. What kind of Because then, it's not to do how you cannot have a strong on your foot. It's nothing like strong. You know what is strong is soft. It's nothing like that. So I carry box. That is the price I paid. One day I was carrying the box from a Kennedy to Grand Studio Court. That means the man was like, hey! My mind was not even on the lap on the system, but I could fish. My issue was that I hope it doesn't affect the software. Ah! What would I get if it's something by the way? That was the only thing I was thinking of. Because I'm not going to leave the software. Anything is good, I'm not sorry. But that day,
I will mount it on the floor. We usually have a reading table. I'll mount it on the floor. Those who don't know that, I don't like reading and sitting down. I will lie down.
I don't like that to study.
Somebody told me this thing that I admire the way you be. Just like that. Even in school. But it's the only exam that has ever kept me sitting up to read was ICA. When I kind of had that, I would lie down and I would not sleep. Except I want to sleep. But I can lie down for hours. I just lay down. I had Amplified. How many of you remember my Amplified Big Bible? Amplified Bible. You remember my Amplified Bible? One Amplified Bible. I kept Amplified. Kept KJV. Big Bible though. Kept KJV. Then I have my NIV and some other translation and my Hebrew. So the guy entered my room. I was there for hours on a Saturday. So I guess I had washed in the morning. Earlier hours as well, I washed my clothes. So everybody was going around. You know how school is on Saturday? People are gallivanting, making noise. I just locked myself. And I just closed the door. Moreover, funny enough, was the fact that that room was room F9. So, fictitious and useless people. When they posted everybody to the room, everybody ran away.
That they can't be in the room with bad people.
I was only roommate. I was just a roommate. That room became an executive Holy Ghost room. So that's what's through my mind. I usually don't say room F9. I say room F14.
This guy, you are drunk. I'm drunk. F14.
How am I even got 140? I don't know, but F14. What is my F9 call? So everybody in the room ran. I don't know why you. So the guy just entered and he saw me on the floor. So he came to argue prophecy. So let me. I saw the end. Hey! I've not seen anyone study like this. He became president automatically. He just shouted. He said, Human being, this. How are you doing?
I will stop you there. I'll let Brian just do that with you.
Where are you? They say, He now got to why he came out. He was told about why he came. But he was shocked. How's that you study for me? I can't reduce that. If you want to study the scripture now, it's not more than what I was studying it then. That means I'm backseated. That means study is important. Amen? You know, most people cannot say, I've read this one before. No! No, don't do that. That is a wrong approach to scriptures. You know many scriptures I can read without looking at the Bible, and yet I will have to open my scriptures to read them. Amen? And when I want to read them, when I see that I'm reading it fast because I know it, I will not calm down. I will say no. I was too far. I will not go back again. I want to erase everything in my head that I have known before. Okay, let's read it again. I'm telling myself. So I begin to read it one by one. And it happened to several people where instead of having rich fellowship, right, when you study, you're not having a glass of no at all. Don't do it. In fact, how that kind of study, where at the end of all your study, there is always something that will cause you to thank the Lord. Because that is what it should lead to. If your knowledge of God does not lead you to worship, this is an issue. Amen. It should lead you to worship. Oh, Father, thank you for this. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people say they grow now. When they were babies, they used to cry. When they study, they see some things, you must be saying, cry. But now, I'm a hero. Who made you heroes? Not only heroes. Amen. They are not a hero. We don't cry over those things. When you before, when you see an unbeliever, you weep. Now you no longer weep. You have backslidden. You should weep well now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Someone said he went to a church one time. And then at the end of the service, the pastor said, "Now let's begin to." Yeah. Glory to God. Never get to be. There's a dear man of God I saw on TV one time was preaching about something. The dear man of God in Nigeria, he preached about reaching the lost.
I was watching him.
But as he was rounding up, he was crying, I was crying, congregation, everybody was crying. And then he now say, no, we don't cry when the world is tough, we rejoice.
And on that you weep. Go away to God. You know, sometimes I don't tell you, you are sober.
Say sober?
No.
Rejoice. Ah!
Rejoice. Calm down. I thought you rejoice.
No, there are times when you hear God's word.
Right? Then that's when you're having meetings of consecration.
You don't need meetings of consecration with God.
Amen.
Amen. Hope everybody with me.
Have which time? Oh. Bible study. Now, Mark, okay, don't Mark, Luke. No, let's jump to John because of time. I have a lot to look at today. I have a lot. Well, you don't know my notes, but I have a lot to look at. Now, then the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Like we said, it goes again to the beginning, Genesis, right? Hallelujah. So, can we read in the Genesis, right? Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Or God is the Word. So he used the word Word, the Jabba, telling you that God is the Jabba. I would say Jabba. Logos, Jabba in the Hebrew, but use the word Jabba. Jabba is used for the visible reality of God within the Old Testament books. So we say God was visible within the Old Testament books. He revealed himself to people within the Old Testament books. What it was visible in the, within the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. I will say that actually is what John is writing. I said that to us yesterday. I said to us yesterday that if you watch John, that I am my friend. Years back, we usually would say John is not part of the synopsis because John didn't write like others, right? John didn't go from death of Jesus. He just went straight. Bam! But we call John, what do we call it? That John wrote something about eyewitness. The eyewitness of sense knowledge and the other and revelation and so John is revelation. Everything is revelation. We have to leave all these things. Amen. But we usually would single out John for this purpose. But we said the reason why John wrote was because John wrote at a point where there was already that rise of a false doctrine. Now, if you put that side by side with what I taught you on Sunday. I just told us on Sunday that the origin of false teaching of Antichrist is Genesis. Did I say that to us? Right? The origin of Antichrist is Genesis. Antichrist is not a new thing. But when people ask me, I don't say Obama is the Antichrist, because Obama killed Osama. No, Obama was. Oh, no, he's Saddam Hussein. It's not Saddam Hussein. It's not Saddam Hussein. Glory to God. Glory to God. So with the Antichrist is from Genesis. Glory to God. It's not a recent invention. It has never been a recent invention. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So, you know, at that point, there was already that rise of false teaching. And people were now saying that Jesus wasn't God. So when you hear people say Jesus is not God, it's not today. False doctrine. So what the false doctrine you are hearing, Satan has not reinvented any new nonsense. Amen. He just keep bringing back the same error. So there are some errors that the church will always have to deal with in every generation. That the error of Jesus is not God, is not to be. So this is part of what John was writing. And John said the beginning was the Jabba. So the people who understood, the Jews know that the Jabba is God. The beginning was the Jabba. The Jabba was with God and God is the Jabba. And I said that Jabba, which was the visible reality of God within the tabernacle, said became flesh in verse 14 and tabernacled amongst us. So we are done today. He said that same Jabba, right, became flesh and tabernacled. He brings in Moses' tabernacle. Then that, and he says he now lived amongst us. So the incarnation is God as a man. John was very direct and authoritative. Very direct. And Jesus is God. Take it or take it. That's who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Amen. I say it and I'm saying it again. The church will always have to deal with this error every generation. Hallelujah. Is Jesus really God? He is God.
What are you telling me?
He is God.
He's God.
Glory to God. So very vital. So we use that word Dabba. Word. Logos, Dabba. Therefore, we said words will have their origin within the 39 books. So the same way the word logos will have its origin within what Genesis down to Malachi as Dabba. And when you use the word Dabba, word then Dabba, you have to go back again to look at what, how is it used? Is that how is it used? Showing you that Dabba is a shorthand. So when he said in the beginning was the word, don't think he's referring to just oral speech. Right? And then it also refers to what the visible reality of God. God is called the Word. Hope you're hearing me. So you have to find out, what is the shorthand? Is it a shorthand? How then is it used? In looking at how it is used, within the 39 books, you have to also consider the cultural connotation of words in their world. We say that, right? Right? Okay, so we looked at the words. We looked at a couple of words. For yesterday, we dwelt on the word Christ. Christos, Christ. So we said the word Christ there will be to anoint, right? Right? So how did we see Christ? So we saw Christ in things, right? Right? We saw Christ in things. We saw Christ. As the sacrifice, right? We saw Christ as the sacrifice. We saw Christ as the prophet, the priest, the king, right? Right? The king. Okay. So, as a prophet, he will stand in the stead of all the prophets before him, right? He stand in that stead of all the prophets before him and suffer the reproaches of the prophets. We said that. He will suffer the reproaches of the prophet. He will suffer the reproaches. Look at 2 Chronicles again. 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Are you there? Verses 15. And the Lord God of their father sent them by his messengers, rising up bedtime and sending, because he did have compassion on his people and on the dwelling place. He says, but they mocked the messengers. Watch it. They did what? They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophet. Did you see that? I will say that word to misuse there means what? They treated them wrong, right? Kill them. Despised, kill them. Misuse his prophet until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people till there was no remedy. So, what did they do to the prophet? They killed them, right? Right? Misused them, killed them. Suffer them, persecuted them. That's the word to misuse. Persecute them. Hallelujah. So, in Luke 11, Jesus mentioned two prophets. Mentioned Abel as a prophet. In Genesis chapter 4, he was killed by Cain. So Cain killed Abel will be evil over good. Do you see that? Abel will be good, Cain will be evil. In fact, where the epistles, the writer of the epistles to refer to Cain, refers to Cain as an evil one. Do you see that? The evil one. So it's evil over good. Do you see that? So Cain killed Abel. Hallelujah. Also, we look at Second Chronicles now, chapter 21. Second Chronicles 21. That should be First Chronicles. Second. Second Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 20. Another verse is 19.
He says, now after the death of Jehoiada came the 4 verse 17, the prince of Judah, and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto him, and they left the house of the Lord God of their father, and served groves and idols, and they wrought let me read for you this, and and the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. This is that, and they testified against them. This is that, but they would not give ear. Watch it. They testified against them and they wouldn't give ear. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest who stood above the people, and said to them, thus saith God, why transgress the commandment of the Lord, that ye prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord. I mean, that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord. He has forsaken you. And they conspired against him. But what they did to Jesus? They conspired against Jesus. Right? Right? They conspired against him, and what did they do to him? And stone him with stones at the commandment of the king of the court of the house of the Lord. Did you see that? They stoned him. What is the stone? So you find Jesus, because the prophets are called Christ. Did you see that? The prophets are called Christ. Jesus will stand in their stead and will suffer their reproach. Did you see that? He will suffer their reproach. So when Jesus in Luke 24, like we said, they said, up for the Christ to suffer. We went through that journey on the way to Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend. And we saw when Jesus said, up for the Christ to suffer, that means he's standing in the stead of the prophets. Did we see that? Right? Right? So then, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, we now say verses 2 and 3, he now say how that Christ died for our sins. Now he brings in the our sins. Say how that Christ died for our sins. Now we say the our sins there is an interpretation of scriptures. Why is it our sins? Because you will find also what is called Christ will be the sacrifice. There's that, the animal sacrifice, the burnt offering. We saw that from Hebrews chapter 10. The burnt offering, the animal sacrifice, is called Christ. So, how that Christ died for our sins? The our sins will be, Moses will write that the animal will be killed and offered for the sins of the people. Did you see that? And the animal, because it's anointed, is going to be what? Christos. Did you see that? Going to be Christ. So, Christ's death, just like the death of the prophet, and the sacrifice, which was for sins. The death of the Christos will be for sins. Hope you're following me here. Will be for sins. Don't miss it at all. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. How that Christ died for our sins? According to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again. From the dead. According to the scriptures, he rose again. Now we said when it's used the word he rose again, which if we put it side by side with Luke 24, will be what? And he entered into his glory. That is referring to the resurrection. He rose again, the resurrection. Enter into his glory. We said that deals with his kingship, because the resurrection, entering into his glory, is used for a king, and a king is Christ. Is that? So we said, how the writers of scriptures will use the word kingship will be, people will rise to become king. You rise to become king is to show resurrection. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, speaking to David, so also say, I will raise up your seed. I will raise up. That is the word for the resurrection. I will raise up your seed and refer to the Messiah.
God is going to raise the Messiah from the dead. And I told you, a major theme of scripture is life from the dead.
We saw all that, right? Hallelujah. So therefore, we say, entering into his glory will be his kingship. His kingship. Kingship. And you can't talk about a king without his victory. Without his victory. Hallelujah. So, in the kingdom, the king is the soldier. Please mark this because we're going to get to the soldier by next week. The king is the soldier. So we're going to deal with the soldier or talk about the soldier. Amen. The king is the soldier in salvation. So the king is seen as a rescuer. A rescuer. Because you can't have a king without a conquest. A conquest. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When you talk about kingship, to rise into becoming a king, you have a conquest. That is to say, as a king, you will have land, territory, right? Territory. And every king wants to acquire more territory. And they acquire it by conquest. Now that is where you have the word gospel from. Gospel. You know, I shared with us during the last series, series 4. I said to us in series 4 that when you have the word gospel and you call it euangelion, what you call good news. I said that word good news is, yeah, you're right, but you have to go back to where? You can't have the word good news. You can't have the word good news. You have to go back to the Hebrew to know what is good news. Remember, that's the origin. Now, when you have the word euangelion, euangelion, good news, and I told her that the news is not always good. The way the euangelion is used is from the Hebrew word bata. Bata is used for the news at war. So you can't talk about bata. You know, when you say euangelion, good news, I call it good news. It's good news though. I told you why it's good news, right? But there's a major narrative of that word euangelion that is missed when you call it just euangelion. Amen. What is that narrative? That is the narrative of the bata. You cannot talk about a bata. The word bata is called, is used for the news from a war. So you can't talk about a bata without a war, without a conqueror, without a loser. Do you see that? So when you talk about the bata, when you talk about bata, the news of the war is now when there's a war. Now, when there's a war, we're going to look at all this. When there's a war, you have two news that we're managing from two sections. Is that there's a victory? So why are we joining back? Before the warriors get back, the news has gone into the camp, has gone to, let's say, the village. Who are taking the news? The one that is an observer. He's called the one that goes to publish it. So he runs with the news. Right? He runs with the news. Victory! Victory! And everyone begins to rejoice. That is when it is good news. Watch it. But there's another one, the one defeated. He runs back. And he tells, there is a defeat at war. The king is dead. Just like the Amalekite that killed so deadly. The king is dead. Oh! Matthew is still part of Bata. Amen. Because when that news gets to the camp, one or two things is going to happen. The people are aware now, we are now slaves. The people are aware, we are now elder slaves. They are aware, oh, another king is going to rule over us. What is it? You see that? So that means the one who wins, the king who wins, goes into that camp and he takes them. Right? Now he's taking them either as slaves or he's rescuing them from that land. What are you going to do? Either he's acquiring the land, taking them as slaves, right? Or maybe they're already slaves to that king and he's coming to take them with him. So they are called the spoils of the war. Hope you're following me. So that king, what is that king that does that is called the Soter, the Savior. What is called the Savior. So you can have just, I mean, when you talk about Basa, you have to look at Basa in the full narrative that there is a war.
Amen.
That there is a war. There is a war. Well, the good news. There's a good news because somebody has won the war. So when the writers of the epistles now call it gospel, good news, they knew what they were writing about. Because Jesus resurrected. So we're coming there. Just resurrected. That is the good news from a war. But you must lose the fact that there is a war. Amen. Amen. So you can't have a good news without the victory of the war. So it's good news because there's the victory of the war. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. So when he says, entering into his glory will deal with his kingship. And it involves of kingship there. It involves the victory over a conflict, over a war. So in Matthew 16, look at what Jesus will say. In Matthew 16. Hope you're following me. So to see the victory, look at what Jesus says in verses 18. He says, but I said to thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. Look at that. The gate of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. So when he says the gate of hell will not prevail, he therefore means the gate of hell will try to prevail. So when you use the word prevail in that context there, you have to see fast. For he said they will not. They will try, but they will not. What is he saying? He's saying death cannot hold his back. Death cannot stop him, for he will resurrect. So this is Jesus speaking about his resurrection. He says death will not hold him. So he used the word Hades. Hades. Now when he used the word Hades there, it has two layers of explanation. One, he used the word Hades to say that both Caesar, right? Both Caesar, which is the human government, can stop him, for he will resurrect. Amen. Two, he uses it for the place of the dead. Now, not two different explanations, but two layers of explanation. He uses it for the place of the dead. Amen. The place of the dead, that darkness, death, can stop him. And death is an enemy. So death can stop him. He will resurrect from the dead. Hallelujah. So can you see victory there? Can you see victory there? So there's a victory of war. A victory. And the epistles were loud about his victory. Were loud. Because the victory is the resurrection. Hallelujah. And what do we call that resurrection? Who could remember that yesterday? Who can remember the resurrection yesterday? What do we call it? What is the resurrection? I said that to us yesterday. What is it? That would be his work in our heart, right? Right? His work in our heart. His spirit in man. We're going to deal with all that. Don't worry. Amen. Amen. I'll say that I'm creating that background for what I will teach us next week Thursday. So let the Thursday just get straight into it, and hopefully the upper Thursday will shine around with us. Anyway, so I'm close to you. That I'm very, very particular what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told us it's just four sections now, right? I said that yesterday. I'm taking this second part, four sections. So anything we do not touch next 2 years. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go with what I've taught us.
Glory to God. We need to know. Meaning that spiritual growth, I say that to us. Spiritual growth is not the volume of what you know. It's the depth of it. Hallelujah. Not the volume of what you know. Some people want to know every day.
Hello. Yeah, you know, let me know before you say I'm gender biased. But I find it mostly with sisters. We want to know, can you tell me everything in your heart? You people want to know everything in everybody's heart. In that relationship, can you go ahead and just tell me everything?
I think I can handle everything, they tell you everything. And the way they are telling you, they're not going to do 20%
already
cried.
All you will not tell you everything. So what will be pastors anymore?
when we tell you about the book. One day like that, my friend told me,
you guys like this.
How did we get here?
Okay, let me just take up more where I stopped. Glory to God. Amen. So I said the epistles are full of his glory. Just full of his victory. Hallelujah. Get that word. I don't know how we got to that point, but we got there. Amen. So the epistles are full of his victory. Amen. He resurrected. That is victory.
That's victory. You say that always.
Hallelujah.
He resurrected. Hallelujah. Resurrected means I'm forgiven. What was I supposed to say that for us yesterday?
That blood in our heart.
That was without the shedding of blood. What is it?
Without the shedding of blood. He said there's no remission of sin. We saw that yesterday, right? Right? Hebrews chapter 10, quickly. Let's quickly watch that. Let me show you that. Sorry, so sorry. I thought I was supposed to say that yesterday. Verses 18. It says, now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So where it says, okay, let me show you another one. So, remember I told you, when he said he went to heaven, was referring to our hearts, right? So when he said, now, when Jesus, there's this doctrine of Jesus went to heaven and carried these things, it's too much Nollywood and chief priests carried this stuff that he would carry and be like, he was threatening heaven with blood. Carry blood and love on the wall, let's see if it's free. Stop doing nonsense. Amen. But that's not what he's talking about. When he says, he went to heaven was referring to our heart, right? Now, what did he do? He shed his blood in our heart. What does it mean to shed the blood? To shed there is the Greek word, not read it in your word, is the Greek word for he gave. Okay, I said it, he gave. He shed his blood with me, he gave his blood. What is the blood? We saw the blood in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 has the eternal spirit. You know that? The blood is the spirit. So that blood is the remission of sin. So what is the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus is not literal blood. When he spoke to them and said in John chapter 6, he said, my flesh is food indeed. Say, my blood is drink indeed. He said, when now they drink my blood, when he said he that eats my flesh and drink my blood, he did not bring his flesh in the incarnation and say, eat my flesh, will you? That is Dracula. Say, drink my blood. If I give you blood, real blood, say, drink, will you drink? Will you drink? Will you drink? Say, no, it's the blood of Jesus I will drink it. Even if Jesus is not happy, yeah. I am Jesus, yes, by blood you will run. How can you drink? But because it was not possible for those who standing by him there to drink literal blood, it gave only to the figure of sin. Then in John 6, put your hands in Hebrews, yeah. Look at John 6, the 63. John 6, 63. Okay, follow me. Look at 54 first. 54. Say, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. You see that? Has what? Eternal life. Stop. Eternal life there is the fact of the word indwelling. So they have eternal life. I was talking to a guy, yes, I mean 2 days ago, and then the guy said, eternal life is a regeneration. I was just laughing because I understood that. It's a regeneration of the reconfiguration. I said, what is eternal life? Eternal life is a configuration. Or what I tried to say, is it, I said Holy Ghost, because I said, no, bro, eternal life is not from Holy Ghost. I said, hey, you can't say that. Hallelujah. So that the eternal life is the, see, the truth knows. The Jews, they know the meaning of eternal life. When Jesus says, you search the scriptures, if then you think you have eternal life, you are saying,
How would they start people to see they have eternal life? What does that mean? I thought eternal life is the life we live in heaven. What are they starting to mean? Is the devil think that is the truth of what eternal life is? Do you see that? Eternal life is used for the reign of a king. You see that? The life of a king. Now, when that word eternal life is used for the reign of the Messiah. What are you hearing me? It's used for the reign of the Messiah. So when you hear eternal life, it's used for the reign of the Messiah. So that says, he that drinks my blood, I mean, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. When they have eternal life yet, means he will be found in the reign of the Messiah. So where will you find the reign of the Messiah? Is that the influence of the Spirit? That is it. Do you see that? They have eternal life. Come on. Now, remember, 54, like I said, he isn't talking about literal drinking or literal eating. So when you're thinking, oh, okay, eat my flesh, how will you eat this flesh? Is that about the flesh? But that's not what he's talking about. He says, what does it say? And I will raise him up at the last day. Say, for my flesh is missing thee, and my blood is drinking thee. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I eat. He has just made it eternal life. In dwelling. You hear my saying that? Eat that my flesh, drink that my blood, have eternal life. That explains it as what the union of the believer and Christ. How are you knowing that? So eternal life is that union we have in him. We are in his reign. Hope you are with me here. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, verse 15 says, this is that bread which came out from heaven, not as the Father did eat manna and are dead. Say, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. 63. He says, in the spirit of sweetness, the flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit and are life. Amen. They are spirit. So that means the bread is not communion bread. The blood is not the wine of communion that people drink and eat. No, the bread is the spirit. The bread is the body. The blood is the body. The bread and the blood are representation of the spirit. Hallelujah. Used for the spirit. Amen. Before now, in chapter 4, he called his water the spirit, eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 John 4:13. It says, so that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life, everlasting life. Did you see that? Union. Okay, follow me. So Jesus' water is the spirit. Jesus' blood is the spirit. Jesus' body is the spirit. Jesus' bread, brother, is the spirit. Okay, follow me. So the blood is the spirit. So when he said he entered into the holiest of all and gave his blood, Jesus will be found in our heart. And how would we know it? It's the spirit. Hallelujah. So we have the spirit. What are you following that? We have the spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. What are you following? Back to where we were. We said the epistles is full of that victory. So that resurrection, I asked that question, what is the resurrection? The resurrection is that he will be found in the believer. The believer will be united with him.
That is the resurrection part. So, when a man receives the Spirit, he receives forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah! Because the blood is what is without the remission of God. I mean, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, as long as there is the blood, there is forgiveness of sin. So, how long is the blood going to stay? 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, forever. That means we have remission of sin forever. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that is his victory.
is found in the believer. Colossians chapter 2. My time is running. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, are you there? I'll take it from verses 11. I love what verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of sin, of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. This is his death, right? Right? Buried. That means in the new birth, we are identified with his death. Hallelujah. We are identified with his death. Wherein ye also were risen in our union with him, were found in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Through faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and all circumcision of your flesh, had you quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Hallelujah. 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So he's explaining that victory. So that victory is that sin has got no power over you. Hallelujah. Sin has got no power over you. Sin has got no power over me. Hallelujah. The devil has no right over me. Oh, you can say that to yourself. Hallelujah. The devil has no footings over me. Hallelujah. The devil has got no right. Sin has got no right over me. You can say it well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 6. Don't put your hands over. Romans 6. He says, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound the same day? How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer? He says, don't you know, as many of you who were baptized into Christ are baptized into his death, that were buried with him in baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin has got no power over me. I walk in newness of life. I walk in newness of life. I walk in eternal life. I walk led by the Holy Ghost. I walk in life. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Talk before this, Colossians 1, verse 13. He says, he has delivered us. Hallelujah! From the kingdom of darkness. That is, yeah, you know what? He has delivered us. That is a shorthand for a corporate. He has delivered us. Hallelujah. He has delivered us. Does that sound like Egypt? Out of Egypt, he has delivered us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you read that story of Egypt, the crash of God, you know, this is what God has done for us in the redemption. Hallelujah. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. And has translated us for the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah, I've been delivered. Hallelujah. What are looking for deliverance? I have been delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't need any other deliverance. I have been delivered. I'm in the kingdom of his son. Hallelujah. So who put it in our list? I'm in the kingdom of his son. Hallelujah, I'm in the light. I'm in the light. Hallelujah. Satan has got no power over me. You know that you can say that concerning things that concerns you. Satan has got no power over my children. Satan has got no power over my job. Satan has got no power over my family. You can say that. Hallelujah. Satan has got no power over me. Not the things that concerns me. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking at. Your authority in the name of Jesus. And that's what it's teaching about, right? Your authority in the name. When you say the name, we are talking about, when you hear name, I told you, what is your name? It means, what is your function? What has it done? What is your authority? Forget the name. Hallelujah. So name deals with authority. What is your authority? Your authority in the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I've been delivered. Never to be held bonded again. Have been delivered. Forever. Hallelujah. So there's no fear of the devil. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. believer has not afraid of the devil.
Yes.
Don't get scared.
He says, no, I don't know.
No, I'm not scared of the devil. No. You say, Satan, give your best shot. Hallelujah.
Greater is he that is in me.
Hallelujah.
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 Not the Holy Ghost.
I have the Holy Ghost.
Learn to say God's word. You learn to say God's word. You learn to say God's word. Don't allow the situation of that of life weigh you down. No!
Hallelujah. You say God's word. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Go away to God.
Yeah.
Go away to God.
Hallelujah.
Go away to God. Colossians 2:15, they have spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is victory in a conquest.
Hallelujah. This is victory in a conquest. This is victory in a conquest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say that God has no power over me. God has no power over me. Hallelujah. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So, it implies the resurrection of Jesus is victory.
Hallelujah. The resurrection of Jesus is victory.
It's begun at the Jesus.
It is. Now, remember, when we say Jesus, what comes up here is the function of the name. Hallelujah. There's victory.
Victory.
There's victory.
And victory.
Hallelujah. Yes. So I think someone will speak and then be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Why am I calling Jesus in vain? Vain means to come to another purpose. I'm calling because I know there's power in the name.
Yes.
I'm calling because I know with a man who's crippled is going to walk.
Yes. I know the man who's blind is going to see.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He rose again. He rose again. That is light over darkness. That is good over evil. Remember, in Cain and Abel, it's evil over good. But Christ is good over evil.
Hallelujah. Life over darkness. Sickness is darkness. When I come in the name of Jesus, life comes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got victory in that name. I got victory in that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because like, the name is bigger and higher than our names. You know, sometimes I don't understand.
Sometimes even one of you say, no, this is business. Let's not, we know business.
Amen.
I got victory.
God
has victory in Christian things, like people can quote. Victory in all ramifications of life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Amen! The thing is, what is it going to lead you to? Let me now tell you. Is after this, I'm going to teach you about the mindset of the miracle. So that's why I'm ready to take you this in that way, alright? Amen! The miracle! Glory to God! Some people, we most like, we take away, we tend to keep the miraculous away from our normal daily life. So this is, we want to try to do a distinction. This is Christian life. This is academic life.
No,
so you now put this academic life. You don't need reading. I'm not saying it's bad to read, amen. But you know, the believer doesn't shut himself away from the miracle. Because the miracle is the believer's life. Okay, hear me. Don't shut yourself out of the miracle. Okay, hear me.
I heard something from Bro Higgins years back. He said,
Brother, what is it? He said, do you know that I applied God's word on my finances? He said, Stephen, take your hands off my finances. He said that. Remember, he says, so Stephen, take your hands off my finances. My finances will grow in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that he will not sit down and say, you will not sit down. He accepts God's word. He acts on it.
You do your business.
Hallelujah. Amen. Who said you can't do miracles? Miracles? Who said you can't have the miraculous in your job? Who said you can't have it? Who said you can't have it? Who said you can't have it?
I remember a time ago, what am I getting into this? It's not part of my notes.
Remember a time ago I was in the office, I wanted to do loans, like good loans. And yes, but I couldn't. You know, it was only half the month. Nobody is coming. I was
looking like a laggard. I was now regretting, why did I leave micro? Like some micro guys at the back. Why did I leave micro for SME? And I was like, wow!
I was the king in micro. Not even the king. You just get your... I need 14 rooms in one month, micro. I was thinking there, where I was not through my leg, I was alone before, because I'm not getting big money. How would I do this? I'm not sure if I can. I'm going to be, but for the month, mid of the month, my boss came to ask me, why are you wearing, and those bosses can be very hard, they won't even mind your feelings.
And they don't even mind or care about the feeling. Hey, you're not my body, you're not my body, you're feeling so lucky. When I was saying this,
I was saying myself. And I'm
a man of God.
You know that you just learn yourself.
I'm a man of
God. You're not looking at me. You know that I'm a man of God.
I have said something. You know that I got to the office, I just heard my tape, I said in the name of Jesus, I have customers to meet my budget this month. You know, it looks like, God.
Do you hear that? Is it not this thing? God,
I've been, you know, talk about this.
You know, I'll be sure about that. You know that. Hey, I was
very,
you know, looking at
me. I was tired. I said, no. I'm a man of God, I'm a child of God. And one thing that stuck in my head was the fact that Peter toyed and toyed all night. And Jesus said, cast your net here. That is somebody's business. He said, cast your net here. I believe in miracles. See, all things I've seen applied is my mom. So I'm like, it works for my mom. And I said, in the name of Jesus, Christ gravitates to me. I began to say, Christ gravitates to me. I know what to do. Christ gravitates to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ gravitates to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ gravitates to me.
So I went out, I started talking. People have been talking to me before. They began to call me. I knew it wasn't my own, but my own hand. I knew this is God.
Hallelujah, I believe in the miracles.
I believe in the miracles. I got Jesus. I'm not saying now that you're not being lazy at work,
now
I call clients from the left
and to the right. I'm not saying that. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Right? What I'm saying is that even in your jobs, don't shut out the miracles. Even in your family, even if you are good, you have more wisdom in the world, don't shut out the power of God. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't shut out the power of God.
Okay, let me.
Sometimes we could know how to do things in the natural. But you know, what thing that makes us different from Warren Buffett, from all those guys, what that makes us different is the fact that we have the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Okay, we have the Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Ghost to make us rich, but we've got the Holy Ghost to know how to do. So what I'm trying to say is the fact that as a believer, guys, you can be as professional as you can to know everything. But you know the difference between you and other professionals is the fact that you don't shut out yourself all the miracle. You know what that helps you do? That helps you. That is worship. Don't you shut God out in any part of your life. Amen? Don't shut him out. Okay, you're with me. Don't shut him out. I'm not now saying as a doctor, now going to OCS, I don't know that I say, yeah. I'm going to do the operation, I'll just do the cadaver, right? By the same time, I have got to do the operation. What about just saying that I have your wisdom, and I get into the operation to perform the wisdom, to perform the wisdom, to know what to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. All this stuff, you know, we have the Holy Ghost.
We brought Jesus on our inside. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I got a few more minutes. I was not yet there. Okay. I guess we'll just take this next week.
because I want us to answer that question Paul on his way to Damascus. But we'll take it next. Hallelujah. What the pulse?
What the pulse? What did Paul see on his way to Damascus? What happened to Paul? Hallelujah. Amen. Was going to persecute believers.
Right? Was on his way to persecute believers. I don't have that. Was on his way to persecute believers. And yet, he was converted on that.
And that changed the whole of his life. I know I spoke about it a bit, but we're going to look at it again next week and the week to come. Hallelujah. See, I don't shut myself off from the miracle. I have the name of Jesus.
I have the name of Jesus. That is the victory. I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Let's tell you something else. You know, that's the mindset you have when you go for it like this. What are you doing? That's the mindset you have. It's not called soul snatching. It's called soul winning. There's a reason why the fathers, I call the fathers now, there's a reason why your fathers of old call it soul winning.
Hallelujah. It's victory. Hallelujah. So winning is victory. It's what God wants to do. So we're going to, we might have one more teaching session within the course of the month. Maybe we'll take one Saturday after next Thursday. Not this Saturday.
Next Saturday. Have one Saturday. But I have to show you the concept of the land and the concept of the people within this city. I'll tell you what I'm going to show you. The last session. The last session is a short section, but we'll have demonstrations, have thanksgiving and pray together. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
I was about saying something. About saying something. What was I about saying?
I was about saying something. I thought
that it was okay. Huh? So winning. Yeah, so winning, thank you. So winning. You know, it's victory you have. We're not looking for victory. So when you go out for evangelism to win the truth, you don't get to win. You don't go out with a loser mindset. No, I said it last time. You go in because you know you've got life. And that's the reason, because you know it's a conquest. Supernatural. Soul winning is supernatural. I said it to us on Sunday, right? Soul winning is supernatural. Man himself is supernatural. Darkness is supernatural. Life is supernatural. You understand? So because I know this is what Jesus has done. And this is God's passing on here. What will I do? Remember, with the dark man is under the control of the devil. The man who comes in line for the power, control, and kingdom of the dead. Right? And you want to take that man off. Amen. All the control of the dead. He's going to lead you to death. Because he wants the man to be. Right? He wants the man to be. He's going to pray. Well. Evangelism is not standing up and going out. Evangelism is not standing up and going out, but it also involves that spot where you have to pray. How often do you pray for your soul? Amen. Amen. Next week, our prayer chain. Okay. Next week, our prayer chain will be for us soon in our community. We must learn to intercede for the lost. Amen. All through this month of May, we're interceding for the lost. We're interceding for the lost. So we're going to call the streets. We're going to call the street beside the streets opposite the streets around. In the name of Jesus, I'm interceding for lost soon. Amen. 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 You know, and in that thing like that, we're also doing exercising your authority of the name. Because the authority of the name of Jesus is exercised in prayer. I said that to us in Seattle last year. It's exercised in prayer. We are praying. Follow us. Then you go out. You are praying for us because you're doing the supernatural thing. You're praying for us.
You understand that it involves their will, and this is God's task in here. Just like Jesus did. Never reduce. You know, there's a way you begin to do something over and again that you just feel to just let me just be, maybe just to go out. I don't just say, maybe just to stand and preach. I don't do that. Because you can get to that point where you say just to go out. No, it's not just to go out. Amen. This is supernatural assignment in all the children to pray. There's a sign, a fire, a name, and then you go out. With that mindset, that I pray for this guy. So I'm going to see him with the power of God. Hallelujah. You understand? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God will have the victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We live with all this.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord.